The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. It's The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and me, Manisha Tank. And it's a big week for Singapore fintech. It's when the great and the good of global fintech descends on Singapore for the FinTech Festival to showcase their wares and talk about how new developments are impacting on the world.
Yes, we've got numbers and statistics, and we will discuss the festival in detail a little bit later on. But first things first, let's talk about developments in FinTech platforms that have allowed financial inclusion for many in unprecedented ways. Take, for example, our guests this morning who are from Pinbox Solutions.
Yeah, this social enterprise has developed a turnkey product that helps governments in a number of developing economies. It uses a really simple system, mobile phone-based platform, to roll out micropensions to rural communities and workers who would otherwise never get access to conventional pension plans that most of us take for granted.
Micropensions. Well, this will also address a problem that many governments face. For example, how to pay for aging populations and their increasing needs. That's an issue that we're facing here in Singapore. And we've got the gig economy that's growing. So we need a plan for workers who are currently underserved by the system.
So like we said, we're going to be joined by them in the studio. And here they are, the brains behind this platform, Gautam Bharadwaj and Parul Seth Khanna. They are directors and co-founders of Pinbox Solutions. Hey, guys.
Hi, Manisha. Hi, morning, Elliot. Morning, thank you for having us.
Yeah, nice to see you. So you're here for the FinTech Festival.
That's right.
Yeah. And I know you've already been presenting, Parul. So that sort of reflects some of your background. You were a journalist in Delhi, India, once upon a time. And
yes,
then you got involved with Pinbox. What happened?
Well, it's quite a journey, actually. So I was doing a show in India on pensions and on the adequacy of savings. And I happened to get an economist on my show, and it happened to be Mr. Bharadwaj. And we had a lot of interactions just getting my show right. And I quit after some time. I'd had enough of journalism. Sorry, guys. But and Gautam was doing this. He came up to me and he said he was doing this fascinating experiment with the tribals in south of India to see how we could move them from a barter system that they were recently on onto a pension system which was totally on a prepaid card system. Right. And I was like, this sounds really exciting. And this is where my journey started, really.
So, Gautam, I'm understanding that Pinbox Solutions means a lot to you. So what was the inspiration? You were talking about this, Parul was talking about this experiment you were conducting. So how did you feel the platform was necessary? How did you start creating this idea?
So what was happening is that, you know, we are estimating about 2 billion people above the age of 60 by 2050. And Asia, Africa, and Latin America is going to be about 1.7 billion people above the age of 60. 80% of them are not eligible for a pension. So I think our basic motivation was that if there are going to be 1.5 billion elderly who are going to be living 20 years after they're too old to work and earn a living and will not have any savings available to them, the idea was how can we use technology and how can we use existing ecosystems that are being created under financial inclusion to actually deliver regulated pension and insurance solutions. What was happening was that mainstream finance firms and governments were not really stepping forward because of three reasons. One was that the ecosystem, while it exists, you know, you've got national IDs, you've got, you know, digital payments and so on and so forth. While all this exists, it was not coming together as a simple, single window, easy solution for low income people, especially in rural locations. Okay. And we felt that technology could actually be a glue to bring the ecosystem together as a single window solution.
So like too many forms, too many approval process.
Absolutely.
That's why.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's simplified everything, hasn't it? So you basically make pensions available on a handheld device. Is that how it works?
Yes. So today, let's say, for instance, in countries like Kenya, Rwanda, even in India, it's feasible for you to use any platform. You can use a smartphone or a non-smart feature phone to not only access, but open a national ID linked pension account and then to save at your pace in line with your income wherever you work, wherever you live.
So you've mentioned that you've had this operating in a number of countries that you've already talked about. But one of the ones I'm most excited about, Parul, you're always encouraging people to come and see your work there. Rwanda. So this was a country that was ripped apart by war once upon a time, and they really put themselves back together in an incredible way. Can you share some of the stories of how a pension in a box, so basically a Pinbox solution, has changed someone's life?
Well, actually, Rwanda is a very fascinating country. It is called a country of 1,000 hills and 1,000,000 smiles, and a very good reason for that. We started working in Rwanda about 3 years ago. We started with a diagnostic to see whether the country was ready. The Ministry of Finances who approached us. We have been able to get, especially women, the focus is on women and youth. The women especially because we outlive men. We earn less in comparable jobs. We are in and out of workforce because of childbirth, and that makes us more vulnerable to old age poverty. And the youth, because they are the future, they start saving young, they will get better benefits when they're older and less dependent on their children. That's when the whole economies and households start, you know, sort of increasing per capita income, and hence better returns for countries in return. So in Rwanda, we've actually had very fascinating stories. Just one of them that pops out is that they have these village savings and loan associations where they actually save money in groups and in cash, and all the cash is put in boxes. But today, all those women are using 506 hash to enroll for their future. They put in small amounts through their wallets, and Rwanda is today sitting, when they launched in January earlier this year, they're already at about 200,000 people in the scheme and $500 million of francs of assets under management. So it's been a fascinating journey, and the numbers only growing.
And half of them are women.
Gautam, Parul mentioned the number is only growing. Obviously, this means there's a lot more room for technology, or fintech in particular, to further enhance this product. But how do you make sure everyone gets their hands on this product, that everyone has that access?
So I think there are two parts. One is, how can you use tech to make pensions affordable, secure, and accessible for people who currently are excluded. And equally, I think the focus is on using tech to make pensions more commercially viable for mainstream firms. So how do you get a Prudential or an AXA to actually take interest in collecting and deploying, say, $3 a week that a farmer in some village in Indonesia might be saving? But I think going beyond that, the bigger challenge is behavioral. How do you get a 20-year-old to start thinking about age 60 or 70. So there is a great role to use AI, machine learning, building the entire behavioral aspect into technology.
Let's bring it home to Singapore. I know that you both have high hopes for what can be done with this in Singapore. And we talked earlier about, in the introduction, about how the gig economy here is growing, and we have an issue with aging populations. So what's the application here?
So I think Singapore, well, at one level, I think Singapore is at the top end of the spectrum in terms of life expectancy. So people in Singapore are likely to live much longer than anywhere else in the world. But the flip side is that they will need that much more money to survive for a very long time after they stop working. The Central Provident Fund, the CPF, has done a fantastic job in getting almost universal coverage. Almost everybody who's in salaried workforce is covered. But the gig economy, as Elliot mentioned, I think that's clearly a big population, and it's becoming bigger, the delivery guys, the taxi drivers. And then there is this, the migrant population, the temp migrants, like the foreign domestic workers, construction workers, etc. And I think you can start using, like, our pension tech can actually help an individual. So let's say if Grab wants, it is feasible for Grab to embed a pension tech solution on the Grab app and allow drivers to start saving for themselves. Equally, we've got a system called Gift to Pension, which enables middle and upper middle income households who have domestic help, who have employed domestic help, to use technology to easily educate and enroll their own, cooks, nannies and drivers, etc., for a regulated pension program. And this is something that we are very keen to launch in Singapore.
I think also what is key is that while we are serving these gig economy people and low income people, it's very important to give them the same kind of services that you and I receive for our financial needs. Because serving the poor in no way means that you give them poor services.
Let's talk FinTech Festival with our guests this morning, Parul Setkana and Gautam Barawaj, co-founders of Pinbox Solutions.
Yes, indeed. So, Parul, we met, 3 years ago when I was hosting a big forum for the FinTech Festival. This 3 years down the line, what do you think of the FinTech Festival? I mean, it's grown and grown and grown. And how has it become a part of your journey at Pinbox?
It's actually been a very exciting journey because the first year that we came out in 2017 is when I first participated. And that was the first ground where they had introduced financial inclusion as one of the verticals. And we got a great visibility and also to showcase the urgency of the problem that we're trying to address. So that came across very well. And over the years, we've been able to create a platform even to speak about financial inclusion, how this whole ecosystem is then important for leveraging existing financial inclusion to then provide further financial services, be it insurance or pensions. Yes, it is exponentially grown. It's actually very, very knowledgeable and even exciting for me as not only a speaker, but also as a visitor, because I get to see a lot new technologies that are around that I also want to be, you know, be able to embed into the work that we're doing. Weave it in, you know, whether it's video technology, whether it's, you know, biometric technologies, whether it is face recognitions, whether it is blockchain technology, to see whether we can really embed that into the pension transaction histories that go on.
I'm curious, Parul, how does your journalism background play in this situation? I mean, you are used to getting down to the bottom of things. How does that help Pinbot Solutions when you're at this FinTech festival?
I think first is, I think, a keen eye for detail. Sure. As you said, that you need to get down to the details. That's why I mentioned that it's very exciting to see all these. And then, of course, the interactions that I'm able to have and then get the purpose of me being there at the FinTech Festival vis-a-vis the agenda of all the FinTech companies who are being there, to not just say that you need to go for all the high net worth individuals. There is this 80% of the informal workforce that is looking for you, so come this way.
Yeah, I get that. So look, there are lots of different features to the FinTech Festival. I think you've already alluded to them. So there are presentations that take place, there are exhibits, there are competitions as well, where, you know, you get these sort of young, bright things who are competing to show the best of what they're achieving. What are you most excited about this year that's on the agenda? And also, as a slight add-on to that, is it all just about networking, or is it about the exhibits too? Gotham, perhaps you could address that.
Well, so I think what is happening is that when you are, I think it's like a crash course where within, you know, a 3 or 4 day span, you're actually getting up to speed on, as Parul is saying, on what's happening globally. But I think it's equally valuable because you're now sitting and being able to look at a crystal ball and see not only where we are and where we are in a more composite way, but also where are we headed. So I think it helps us to think a little more about future-proofing the way we are thinking about this stuff. And I think it's easily the most exciting event I've ever been to in my life.
Actually, focusing on Pinbox Solutions, being based in Singapore, both of you originally hail from India. If you don't mind a quick comparison, talking about the tech industry, the fintech industry, what's it like being here as compared with India, the kind of benefits, but not quite as many customers here or none here? How does it work for you guys?
Well, I think, so India, I think, is a very it's a fantastic environment.
Sure.
Okay. If you're a fintech and if you're wanting to do some stuff, India is the place to be. But we were, I think the reason we chose Singapore was because we wanted to be and to be perceived as a global institution. And I think that was an important thing. And I think Singapore provides that. But more importantly is the entire, just the, you know, the buzz around, you know, everything. If you look,
you know,
at
marketing
the stuff,
value, right?
Look at what the, say, the mask guys do, you know, the Monetary Authority of Singapore. They've created a fantastic, you know, environment and ecosystem,
okay,
which sort of helps firms like ours to engage with other stakeholders more easily. And I think growth possibilities when you're sitting in Singapore, you're in the heart of where everything is happening.
Yeah, Parul, you know, let's talk about the challenges that face you as a fintech startup. So there's a couple of angles to this. First of all, you're a social enterprise. So luckily, it was, you know, the FinTech Festival that put an emphasis on inclusion, right? So that was good for you. But also, you're talking about pensions. And let's be honest, when you talk to people about pensions, they sort of go into a bit of a snooze fest. But it's a really important issue.
Absolutely. So I think one of the bigger things that we're able to tide over, especially through this FinTech Festival, is of course create this buzz that we've been talking about. But what is even more important is getting the youth and this gig economy to start thinking about it, and there are ways to do it. So while we grapple with how we can make technology better and you can tide over, you know, processes which are not like going to a dentist and, you know, getting a root canal, but they're easy to get done. But I think the other things that we grapple with, like you correctly pointed out, is how do you get the young to save? So there is a trust factor. Is it a person sitting across? Do they trust the company? Do they trust the organization? Do they trust that the money is going to come back? The second thing that we grapple with is for people to adequately save. So opening an account is not really important as much as adequately saving and saving persistently over a period of time. So I think that awareness is something that can only come from within. And I think it's even more important because we're getting into nuclear families, right? And we're living longer so that one child or two children have the responsibility. We all live in societies where our, you know, especially in the developing world where the parents tend to stay with you. And while the children may be moving to other cities, but they still take care of their parents. So it is important for the parents to be financially independent, so they're even letting their children grow in the future. But the onus of the whole economies, individuals doing well is really on the young people today to get responsible and start saving for a brighter future. So everybody in this room and the listeners, open a pension account.
Relating it back to the regular Singaporean and how the rise of the gig economy for Singaporeans, migrant workers, domestic workers, gig economy workers here in Singapore, can we expect to benefit from Pinbox in our own financial, economic ecosystem type of thing?
Absolutely. I mean, I think Singapore is perhaps, while the problem is not very large, but there's still about 25% of the workers in Singapore are still excluded from formal pension arrangements. Right. And I think this is something we're already working with a large insurer and a few institutions to actually roll out gift a pension here, and that'll target both gig economy and foreign domestic workers.
Well, you have to come back when you have those big announcements.
Yes, of course.
Love to.
Tight lip right now, though.
We're not quite used to hearing the word pension here in Singapore, so it'll be interesting to see what iteration of it will come out while working with these providers. Paro Setkana, as well as Gautam Bhatawaj, co-founders of Pinbox Solutions, in the studio with us. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.